Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McHugh. Kind of a brief update for you from OTAs, actually mandatory minicamp on June 9th, 2026. That was today. Unpadded practice, beautiful clear skies in the 70s. We're open to the press today and tomorrow. So I'll have a report tomorrow on Wednesday as well. There seemed to be a PSL holder event going on with several hundred fans in attendance, a very nice food spread. We walked by that and there's a lot of options and whatnot. It seems like they overproduced significantly in terms of food for that group, but very nice event to get kind of win in that PSL lottery they have on a regular basis. In terms of the players present, Minter said all the players were present and accounted for, but there were some who didn't practice. He talked about some minor injuries and illnesses that were occurred. There are a couple of players, like Nate Wiggins wasn't there. I don't know if that was an illness or a minor injury, but he said that it's not a big deal. All players are currently expected back for the start of camp. He was immediately challenged back with, does that include Matabike? I didn't hear who asked the question. And he said, that'll work itself out. So not a positive way of saying that, not a positive syntax, but, you know, he said he felt optimistic. I don't know what to take from it, but Matabike may or may not be ready to go for camp, but that will work itself out is all we have on that. So players not practicing today included Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, Corey Bullock, Ronnie Stanley, Teddy Buchanan, Nnamdi Matabike, Nate Wiggins, John Jenkins, and Travis Jones. Buchanan may have been there. I did not see him in uniform, and I have seen him in uniform in some of the past OTAs. So not sure if he's on a side field, just not wearing his defensive whites today. Kenobi Awuzie and Bilal Kone were on a separate field. They didn't do any 11-on-11 drills or any individual unit drills that I noticed. Rashad Bateman came out late, and so did Ronnie Stanley. They were not involved in 11-on-11 either, and they were off on a side field as well. There are three additional tryout players present. Tight end Caden Prescorn, who played, I think he actually spent time with the Browns previously. I don't know if he actually played some snaps. An inside linebacker named Woods, who's wearing number 54. I don't have more information than that. An offensive guard, Christian Hilborn, who's a UDFA from Washington State. Just tryout guys. They may or may not get a camp invite. There are probably some cuts coming to make room on the 90-man. Diego Pavia comes to mind as a guy who the Ravens don't really have room for. Maybe Fagnano as well. But they may keep four camp arms. If they did, I think it's more likely Fagnano stays over Pavia, and that they make room for an additional offensive lineman, say, or perhaps an additional tight end. So either of those could be in the cards coming forward. We were back today for very few reps for both Pavia and Fagnano with Lamar present. So the pecking order definitely is Lamar, Huntley, Skylar Thompson is third. And that was the only one that might have been in question, that, you know, where do Pavia and Fagnano stand relative to Skylar Thompson? There hasn't been any question about that. Thompson has easily gotten the most reps after the big two, and he got quite a few reps when Tyler Huntley was out with twins last week. So that was a good opportunity for him. Corey Bullock is missing a big opportunity right now. So he would be the third center in there, and he'd be getting probably rotational first team reps, which is kind of what I think I'm seeing in terms of the OTAs that have occurred and been open to the media so far. Gwynn and Pinter right now are getting all those snaps. So they're getting the opportunity to show what they got. And sometimes with the ones, sometimes with the twos. But the point is that they're really getting the reps that are the only ones being judged now for who's ahead in the center competition. And this is not a good time to have a minor injury, which is, I guess, what it must be with Bullock, who missed last week, and now this practice today. So unfortunate. Ryan Eckley, we saw some big booming punts from today. Also some controlled punts as well. He kicked a 72-yard punt. Looked like 72 yards. I think the line of scrimmage is a 25, but it might have been the 30. And honestly, it doesn't really matter that much. But it either went 67 or 72 yards and went out at the 3-yard line. So very impressive. He booted another one that looked like it was 65 yards, caught at the 5, and another that was 67 yards, fielded at the 8. So really got into seeing the big leg of Ryan Eckley today. And he had at least one punt that looked like the coverage team got down and covered. They didn't do quite full punt drills today, by the way, but they did most of the unit. So it's gunners are down there. I don't know if they have a late release from wings or from the personal protector, but they had everybody at the line of scrimmage. They had 11 on 11 rep there. They just weren't running willy-nilly down to try and reset up blocks and have all the risk that comes with that of blocking the back and the other things that can go wrong with a special teams drill and from an injury perspective. Tyler Lupa had five field goal attempts. He was good from 28, good from 33, good from 38. And they have a nice method of alternating between left hash and right hash and at least creating a little bit of difference there. They also aren't just letting Loop back up 5 yards each kick and then be lined up and have his sights on the uprights and whatnot. They make them run off the field, Randy Brown does, and then run back on both the holder and the and Loop. And reset for each kick, which I think is a good simulation of real world circumstances that you know you'd expect from Randy Brown because he's a good coach. His 43-yard attempt was the fourth here. I got kind of sidetracked there. That was either good or slightly wide left. I look at the net and it looked like it was about 3/4 of the way over towards the left side of the net, which would have made it wide left or just good inside the upright, one of the two. And so I thought the good sign from that was that they still moved back another 10 yards after that. Normally, they'll just retry that kick, I think, if he misses from a distance like that. So normally, a lot of times, you'll see the only miss will be at the longest distance anyway for a kicker. But they at least tried the next one from 53 on the left hash, and that was good straight down the middle. Great carry on the football. Looked like a missile coming off his foot. They did a little odd anti-fumbling drill. The running back, wide receiver, tight end, and quarterbacks all got up off the ground to run a gauntlet of boxing gloves on sticks and other obstacles. They might have had somebody with a pad. They were encouraged to spin at one point in the middle of the rep. So it's not much that's different from a normal gauntlet of people you're running through. There might be slightly less injury risk. This is not something Lamar Jackson did, but I did see Fagnano doing it out there. And I'm not sure if Huntley and Skylar Thompson did it as well. So it looked like all of the skill position players, all the non-offensive linemen that were offensive players, all took part in that drill. Got some highlights from 7-on-7 for you. Dayton Wade caught a pass from Lamar Jackson, his very first pass of the day for Lamar, I think. It might have been a short pass, a screen pass or something, but this is his first real pass of any length. It was 20 yards between the right hash and the right numbers, and Hawkins was late getting over, and it's just interesting that Dayton Wade is one of the number one receivers that Lamar Jackson is throwing to. It's his first completion of the practice, for significant completion of practice, and Dayton Wade is already on the field. And they did do something that's interesting. They kept Surratt and Jacoby Lane playing with Tyler Huntley, and that just may be a familiarity thing. Build up your familiarity with one quarterback, try and figure out where you are and whatnot. And they didn't do it the whole day because Surratt caught one of the big balls of the day from Lamar a little bit later, which I'll get to in a moment. LaJonte Wester had the first of several explosive plays in 7-on-7s. He caught a ball crossing 10 yards between the right hash and the right numbers, on which he outraced the defense for a what looked like a TD. Is certainly a very big play. He looks dangerous. He looks like a player who could help the Ravens this year. Like the Ravens wide receiver room, and as you've heard me say probably a few times on this show, I'm not eager in any way, shape, or form to go out and get a veteran receiver that's going to take opportunity away from these young guys, because the 500 snaps that a veteran wide receiver is going to get all have to come from somewhere, and they're going to come out of players like Wester, Walker, Surratt, and Lane. So I wouldn't be eager to have that happen. 11-on-11 highlights. I saw Jackson overthrow Wade 15 yards by the right boundary out of bounds. Hamilton beat Tez Walker off the offensive left side for a tackle for loss on Randall. Real nice play by him. Jackson completed a 15-yard pass to Tez Walker by the left sideline. Zion Young appeared to have a sack of Huntley off initial pressure from Trey Hendrickson. So Hendrickson was even in the backfield. Huntley was moving up, and Young appeared free, and he of course led up as he approached Huntley, but and the play was allowed to extend, but it looked like it was pretty clearly a sack by Zion Young on that play. He was one of the defenders, by the way, today, who looked fantastic. So talk a little bit more about him later. Adam Randall had a good burst off the right side. What I really want to see from the running backs is that they exploit holes when they exist. They get to level two, and then they get that first contact opportunity there. And in particular, the Ravens backs, Randall and Henry, are both very big men. Good missed tackle, forced rates, and should be better with Eddie Faulkner, who's a missed tackle forced guru. And hopefully we're going to see a fair amount of that this season. Malachi Starks made a couple of nice plays in a row. The first one was a quick downhill tackle on a short pass right. And then the very next play, he was in as a pass rusher and had apparent pressure as the ball came out. And again, it's nice to see Starks making some plays, not just in the post all day either. Definitely a guy who is doing more on the field than just playing a deep center field. And Jackson completed another pass to Wester. He was wide open, 15 yards. It was right around the left numbers. It appeared to be a blown coverage of some sort because there's no reason for him to be that far open. So either the safety was not in the right place to pick up that responsibility. But either way, Wester's imposition upon this practice was fairly significant. Imprint on this practice was fairly significant. The play of the day was Lamar Jackson. It was a nice roll right, and it was actually running right, not just rolling right. And he threw a 40-yard ball approximately to Surratt, who was by the right pylon with coverage from Marquise Robinson. The coverage was fairly tight. Surratt reacted to the ball and caught it in bounds, apparently. Not sure if it was a touchdown or was just down right around the goal line, but either way, impressive play. Marquise Robinson in coverage there. Randall had another very nice run where he outraced the defense with Starks continuing pursuit all the way to the right pylon. The ball might have been at about midfield. I couldn't tell you for sure whether it was at the at the 40 or at the 45 or maybe even at midfield. But very long run there by Randall. And the fact
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough, can make you feel overwhelmed, and can make you count down the minutes until the kids are back in school. I know I look forward to summer as a time to take a break, but as a self-employed person, time spent away from my work is time I stress over wasting. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a quality therapist who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial therapist matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right on the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
That the defense is still trying to make a play on it tells me that he probably did have a legitimate breakaway, and they weren't claiming the defense wasn't claiming they already made a tackle earlier, kind of thing. So Broderick Washington, and yep, he's still around, folks. He got his hands up for a pass defense at the line of scrimmage versus Jackson. If you remember, Washington had, I believe, all six of his career passes defense come in that one 2023 season, I believe. It's been a while. It might have been 2022, but it's been a while. And he has not had, he might have had one since, but he really has not done much since. It's nice to see him get his hands up again and knock down a pass. Jackson threw a 5-yard pass to the right sideline for Hill. Really more of an outlet than a screen. Hill took it the distance for an apparent TD in the last set of 11 on 11s. And then with Huntley in there, Keon Martin ended a series by pushing Ali out of bounds on the left sideline. And always nice to make a series ending play. So Keon Martin made his presence felt. In terms of defensive MVPs, there's three guys I'd name. The first is Zion Young, who just, he appears to be a larger-than-life character, and one thing that Minter said about him, I'll tell you all the things Minter said about him at the podium, because they were interesting. He said he's different when he hits that sled. He's very physical, and he practices extremely hard. He's eager to do things right. And he said in these non-padded practices, these non-contact practices, non-padded anyway, you have to tone him down. And that's great. If you have to do that, that means it's not gonna be a problem when he gets physical and when the pads come on. And that's what Minter said. He thinks he's one of the players he's really gonna be excited to see when they put the pads on, they mix it up more. And maybe more importantly, when they have some of the joint practices and in the preseason, what Zion Young looks like. But he looks like a special player and certainly a guy who is outperforming many of the other defenders through this point in the offseason. Two other guys who look good for the defense were Malachi Starks, I mentioned before, Kyle Hamilton, who had a couple of nice plays to get downhill. Hamilton is kind of pacing himself. You know, and I think this is true for a lot of the older Ravens. Calais Campbell mentioned it at the podium, you know, really wanting to pace himself and get what he needs to get out of practice. Actually, I think Minter said it about him was, you know, he was good at knowing what he had to do to get something out of practice. So that's a good sign. There is a competition. I'm sorry, offensive MVPs. Jackson, I think because he had no INTs, he had several, solid completions. He has to be in the group. It definitely made the play of the day on that pass to Surratt. We had LaJonte Wester, who made a couple big receptions. And I think Adam Randall, I would pick as being a guy who showed real burst today. And I've been excited by his play. He's a guy who I think could be a backup bell cow to Henry. And if anything were to go seriously wrong, then he could be out there. He's also, I'm sure, going to have some part in returning kicks for the Ravens. And definitely a player that they will have active on a regular basis. The competition to end practice today was a sled relay. So there were five players from each side of the ball that pushed with their backs to move the sled, I believe 100 yards. They probably did 20 yards each would be my guess. And again, Zion Young was the guy who really dominated this. He hit the sled and all of a sudden the defense picked up a large lead on his leg. And then Mike Green and Keon Martin brought it home. Keon Martin was the anchor for the defense. And it seemed like he was almost taunting the offense at the end of his 20 yards as he was really slow to get to the goal line, but they were about 20 yards ahead at that point. So they got it across. I'm not sure what the stakes were. It wasn't apparent from thing. I didn't see either side doing push-ups in this case, but there probably were some stakes and maybe they have to, you know, buy dinner or I don't know. Do something else. So whatever it might be, good to see the competition. The players really clearly love it. They are very eager to compete, even at stuff that doesn't matter. So. At the podium, we had three people. We had Minter, and I told you two of the things he said before. One was about Zion Young, and the other thing was about talking about a lot of the players who weren't there and the various reasons and the fact that everybody's going to be back and ready for camp. I asked him if he had any specific way he was going to handle injury questions for the year. And he said during the season that the injury report kind of speaks for itself. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's really going to then go full Belichick on the media and basically say, look, my only comment is no comment. The injury report will be out on Wednesday. The injury report will be out on Thursday, on Friday. That's what you ought to be looking, not asking me questions. But this is the first time that Minter has had to answer those questions for the team. And so he may still be in the process of determining how he wants to relay positive information in particular. And there's always the danger, as I pointed out many times before, once you are willing to relay positive information and then not willing to relay negative information or saying no comment on negative information, what you're really doing is commenting on negative information because people will assume a negative prognosis if you can't affirmatively say that you think a player you know, has a very good chance to play Sunday kind of thing. So I would hope that Jesse is very careful about his methodology to not let asymmetric information get away. I thought that was a weakness of John Harbaugh. So one of the things I'd like to have seen done better. Calais Campbell was next to the podium. He got lots of questions about playing his 20th season. Then he got questions about he's only five games behind Jim Marshall for the most defensive line games played in NFL history, which I thought that's interesting. Somebody did some research to try and figure that out. He was not aware of it. And he said, you know, it seems like that ought to be easily attainable, but five games is a lot in the NFL and things can go wrong. So he was kind of worried about that. But he's hoping that he said for the last 3 years that he is more sure each year that he's going to be retiring, okay, after the year. And he thinks that's true this year. He thinks it's more than likely, it's really the case. But then he said something else interesting. He said, if he has his way, he'll be able to turn some team down when he decides to hang him up. So, basically that means retire on his own terms. Very few NFL players, very few athletes, period, get to truly retire on their own terms. I think Ray Lewis did, but on the other hand, I don't think the Ravens wanted another year of Ray Lewis after that 2012 season. It wasn't very good, and he was hurt a lot. And if he decided to come back, the Ravens might say, hey, you know what, Ray, maybe we see you in a player relations role or something like that. I don't know what they'd even try to do if Ray had said, hey, I want to come back for one more season. It seems like it wouldn't have made sense. I think Ed Reed, when the end was there, it was known, and Reed did kind of retire. Both of them, I think, retired more or less on their own terms. But they're players who, and certainly Ray, because he was able in his situation to decide he was going to come back and play in that postseason run, which was really special in its own right. But very few athletes get to decide when they retire. And Campbell is saying, I hope I have the opportunity to sell something. No, I'm sorry, I'm done now. And that's great if he can do that. He reminisced a lot about other players he's played with at some point along the line, and then getting back here to Baltimore and seeing them. He mentioned Nnamdi Madubuike specifically, and how he looked a lot different earlier on in his career, and now his body is built up and looks completely different. And he has been through superstardom, and then to a very serious injury, a contract, obviously, a very serious injury, and then the troubles with that. And he reminisced about that a little bit. The impression you get from hearing Campbell talk is that he would make a fantastic coach. Just, I don't know whether he'd be a defensive line coach or exactly what he would be doing, but he has so many things that he's done well to maintain his status as a great player until almost 40 years old. And you can start with the fact there's a great video out there of him talking about what he needs to do to stay low and how that really is the difference between him being a great player and not. And it's just a great watch if you can find it. It's about 4 or 5 years old at this point, but it is really good. The other thing he talked about was Anthony Weaver. He really praised him extensively. Now, Weaver had been, he'd been with Weaver in Baltimore and then with Weaver again in Miami, where he was the defensive coordinator. He said he's the reason he came back. High praise for Anthony Weaver, but he really, respects him, obviously, very significantly. Weaver made fun of the fact that Calais Campbell was back, and that was another guy who had the same taste in music with him, because obviously they're much older than all the other players. Weaver very clearly cemented his spot as a player's coach in any terms you might understand that word. I think he's a guy who relates very well to players despite a not insignificant age gap. Well, I mean, Weaver was a rookie in 2002, so we're 24 years beyond that. So it's not like he's a 28 or 32 year old coach who suddenly is finds himself on the management side and still has remembers last year being a player kind of thing. Weaver hasn't been a player in a very long time, and he still relates extremely well to players and is obviously very well liked. Roquan Smith also had things to say about Weaver, but first of all, I talked about his closer mentality. And that really, I was talking about last year. Last year wasn't the season that he wanted, is what he said. He'd had five All Pros, and he was not in consideration this last year. He can't always control the circumstances. He said it wasn't a good year for the defense as a whole. It wasn't a good year for him. And you can't always control the circumstances here, but you can control your reaction to it. And he liked to put things in the past and move forward. And I think that kind of a closer mentality can serve him well. He did mention, wanting to learn from that, but then put it in the past. So it was, again, I think a great mentality to have for playing the game. He was, Jerry Coleman tried to bait him into a question about Nande Matabike's health. It was also the last question of the day. So I said, okay, only one more. And then Coleman asked his question. And he goes, well, I wouldn't comment on that. And Marisol Renner, who works for the Ravens in the PR department, said, okay, one more question over there, Josh. Kind of thing. It was interesting. It kind of meant one more good question, I guess. So that was good. I'm not going to poke too much fun at Jerry, but that was a terrible question. No, it's just one of the things that sometimes happens. Roquan also praised Weaver as a great man, a teacher. He's very encouraging to players, and they love playing for him. So I think lots of good things to say there. So anyway, the first of 2 days of minicamp, I'll be out there again Wednesday. I'll have a report then. And otherwise, use hashtag film study mailbag if you have any questions for me, particularly about minicamp. You want to know something that maybe I'm not talking about at minicamp, or you want to know that maybe no one else is reporting on, I'll take a look for you tomorrow. And if something I can say, I will, and hopefully answer some of those questions on tomorrow's brief update. Thanks for listening again, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.